Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Aloha, Mr. Han.
Well, all right there. Welcome in, everybody, on to a Wednesday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you on this Wednesday. Max Power producing. He's got your KFH hotline ready to roll at 869-1240, ready for reaction to KU Wichita State last night. Both men's basketball teams go down on the road, won a true game, true road game for the Shockers, a neutral court game for KU. We'll dig into both of those contests throughout the show today, including a visit with our KU insider, Shreya Slata. So make sure you are tuned in for that. Everything on the show today brought to you What's on Tap by the Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun, beers with the boys, girls' night out, a glass of wine with a longtime friend. WBC, the place where groups gather for the holidays, East West, Historic Delano, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. It is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday as we welcome in TJ. TJ, I'm there. I've got the long sleeves on, but I'm representing on a morning.
Well, I might be too under this. I don't know. Nobody knows.
I can see your shirt. You're not. I'm glad I'm here. I'm rolling in at about 80%, 70%, 60%. So we're here. We're ready for Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We're going to motivate the world to have a great Wednesday, despite TJ two losses last night on the men's basketball schedule.
Sucks. The real going to bed pissed off at the world type of sucks. No, I'm just kidding. It there's positives to take away. It does sting for the Shockers more than KU, I think, because KU. I mean, KU could go 0-10 in November, and we've talked about this, is that they've got all their room ahead of them to do whatever they want. The Shockers, you know, we've talked about an outside chance that, you know, the American has been a multi-bid league every year, basically, the past few years. I don't know if it will be this year, but, I mean, the opportunity could have been there if they could have, you know, taken care of business last night. Now it's going to hurt down the stretch that, you know, they might have lost their only chance to have a quad one win on the schedule outside of maybe going to Memphis. I don't know if there's another one on the schedule that they would have. So that it stings in the fact that they probably, I mean, you can make an argument. They should have won that game. They were up 7-0 to start the game. They got it back to a chance to win at the buzzer, and they couldn't get it done. Just a lot of mistakes in between those two things that's going to cost them.
Yeah, we'll dig into it.
You look good.
I think for the Shockers, I mean, they're about to play St. Mary's. Colorado State's more highly ranked right now than Boise State. Granted, those will be neutral court games, but they're going to have some chances for big-time wins. And then you'll have to see what happens in the conference. I think it's probably – I mean, that is very forward-thinking. It's probably a little early for that right now. We're just – you know, we're trying to see if this Wichita State team can compete in the American. That's I think, the next step at large. We got a ways to go, I think, to start thinking about that. They fall. You mentioned it, 62-59. They had a chance late. There's a lot to pull out of that game, and we will throughout the show today. Kansas falls 78-66, 12 points for those of you following the 11.5 point line.
Was it a hook? I thought it was.
Yeah. It was in a silly, you know, foul at the end of the game to get him over. I looked up at the end. I was trying to flip back and forth, and I was like, how did they get up to 12? Because it was closer than that pretty much the entire second half. But that's where it got. No Darren Peterson. We learned that about lunchtime yesterday that he wasn't going to go. But, I mean, come on. He's engaged on the sidelines. Like, he's fine. He just has a hamstring injury.
Side note here, which we kind of talked about yesterday, for actually at length yesterday, is the fact that Bill Self had to release a statement that Darren Peterson wasn't going to play whenever he said the last time that he spoke that he is out for the immediate future. I don't know where the hope came from that he could have played. Like, I thought that was something that's just like, yeah, chalk it up. He's not going to play against Duke. And he still had to release a statement yesterday at noon saying, hey, he's not going to play. In case anybody missed that, Darren Peterson's not going to play tonight.
I think it's because he doesn't have a timeline. And so right now he can't just come out and say he's going to miss the next 3 weeks. I don't think they have that good a feel for the injury. And so it's created this confusion. I just hope at this point everybody understands, like, the guy has a hamstring injury and they're not going to push it. Like, that's it. Like, there's nothing more than that. And so what does that mean for his timeline? Well, let's see when his hamstring gets better. It's a hamstring. Like, they're annoying. They last a long time and they're really easy to re-aggravate if you don't give it the proper amount of time. And so the problem is they don't have a timeline. Like, they don't know how many games he's going to be out. And it tells me he's probably closer than farther away, or they would at least say for at least the next couple of weeks, you know, whatever. But, and I'm trying to think back historically to this kind of thing with Bill Self. And it's not even really that unusual for him to not, like, Remy Martin was a weird injury thing. I think Kevin McCullough was a weird injury thing. Remember McCullough most recently, yeah. I just don't think that's something that they're particularly good at, like coming out and be like, oh, he's going to be out for 4 weeks now. Like,
kind of did it for Kevin McCullough.
If we look back though, like, it's always a little vague and a little, yeah, you know, eerie and leaving room for interpretation. But this one doesn't look anything to me like Kevin McCullough when you see what's happening and what's happened. Like, he looks engaged. He looks, you know, I think he wants to play. I think that he's got a bad hamstring. And yep. Why on earth would they push that? It would make no sense for them to push that. And so they got to figure out how to play without him. And you know what? Yep. I thought they did a pretty good job last night.
I know. I feel like we're talking about pre-Leipold KU football, the way we're all taking moral victory laps around here without playing.
It's not a, I mean, they lost the game. There. It's not a moral victory.
But, I mean, people are. I mean, I think that, I mean, I am too, honestly. Like, I feel like they played well. Like, I think that it was something where it was the nature of, like, who will score when Darren Peterson's not out there? I think last night we got some answers to that. Granted, the bench scored 5 points. It did not what you need out of them. Honestly, the bench –
did the bench ever play? I got to both games in the second half. I'm not sure I saw anybody come off the bench.
The bench shot 7 field goal attempts. That was it. So I guess it was Jaden Dawson, basically, was the bench. And El Marco played for 6 minutes as the next highest.
Yeah,
That's the scary part.
I think the reason you're getting – and look, I'm not taking moral victories away more as much as just like trying to evaluate. I think a lot of people thought KU was going to get beat by like 30 points last night. Because Duke's really good. And that's where I think you can have some, like, that was a 4, 5, 6 point game most of the second half. I think that's where you can take some things out of it and feel a little more okay. And we'll get into the specifics of that, but there was plenty for me, like, as I'm trying to watch it and watch 2 basketball games at once, by the way, one on a phone, that stupid Mountain West network, that was annoying. But like, there were things where, like, okay, like, I could see that. Like, I can see that later on. Because they're so uniquely positioned for a KU team to be so funneled into one guy that everything else around him, where we really don't know anything, at least we're learning a little bit. I think we learned a couple of things last night that, yeah, that carry with KU, and you plant in the best player in the nation to that, and you feel pretty good about
it. There's something there. They're going to beat a lot of really good teams, I think. I don't know what they will be. I don't know if they will be a really good team, but they'll beat some really good teams.
I agree with that.
Speaking of the Mountain West Network, my biggest grind my gears last night is we were doing things all night, and then finally I got to turn it on at about like 9 o'clock, and I didn't look at my phone. Like, I took my watch off, put my phone in the other room. I was like, I'm not spoiling this Shockers game. Turned it on, started to rewind it back to the start. Didn't do it. Missed the entire first down.
Oh, yeah, you can't read it. Yeah, I learned that too when I tried to go back for the last shot and get another look at it. Okay, let's come back. Let's dig into these games. What did we learn? We've got a lot to get to today. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. It's Sports Daily. It's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We're coming right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool Top Load Washer or Midea Top Freezer Refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list. And prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, here to Sports Daily. You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 12 matchup between the Indianapolis Colts and Kansas City Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We come back in reacting to a couple of college basketball games last night, including the Shockers who fall in a road contest to Boise State 62-59. Hopping on with us here for a biweekly visit. We're happy to have him, Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. Good timing, Kevin, as we react to the first adversity for this, what's been an impressive team so far this year.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well. Yep, got home late last night, early this morning, and plenty to work on. I thought we competed relatively well yesterday. Obviously, you play a top 50 team on the road. It was a great environment. Had a great crowd. I thought our guys responded well. You know, at one point we're down 15 and fight back to three. I think we had three straight possessions down four and one possession down two, and just couldn't get that bucket when we needed that bucket. But I was proud of their fight. And at the end of the day, you guys, we've talked about it all the time that we don't do moral victories. It's a great opponent. That's why we scheduled the game, so we could find out what we have early. And we're on to the next one. We've got a really good Milwaukee team that I think was down four to Texas Tech at Texas Tech with 10 minutes to go. And it's a really good club that's coming in here on Saturday night.
Yeah, Kevin, it was a good test for this team last night. A pretty comparable with the Mountain West opponent, a team that's picked towards the top of the Mountain West. The one thing that has confused us, we talked to Coach Mills about it on Monday, and now the sentiment really amplifies after what we saw last night. How did Boise State lose to a Division II team? That's a pretty formidable opponent.
You know, I studied that box score last night after the game. You're talking about the Hawaii Pacific game. And if you look at the stats, guys, like everything is within a plus, you know, it's a plus two or minus two, whether it's rebounds, three-pointers, field goals scored, foul shots made, just a really, really tight neck-and-neck game. What I think you're seeing from this Boise State club, played Montana State, I think won by 5 or 6 the other night, is they have a tendency to fade a little bit late. And I think you saw that in the Hawaii Pacific game, definitely saw it in the Montana State game that I saw. And I think we saw it last night, right? You're up 15, maybe think you got it in the bag, and we end up going on a 6-0 or 8-0 run to get it back in close. And like I said, we had three possessions down four. And again, it's you play a top 50 opponent on the road, guys. The three of us all know that every possession matters. So you can point to possessions at the end of the game, but you can also point to possessions at the beginning of the game. You know, Will coming down with his second foul, I think in the 6 minute mark in the first half, certainly hurt because I thought we had an advantage on the inside. Emmanuel did a nice job filling in for him. They really, really tightened down defensively on Kenyon, which was expected. And I thought Michael Gray stepped up and did really well at the guard spot. But you can look at numerous plays, whether it's finishing three or four buckets in the paint or finishing down in the block three or four times. There's probably 8 or 12 plays that can get you the one possession that you need. So it's close. At the end of the day, we got a lot of work to do and a lot of season ahead of us.
It's interesting too, Kevin, when it that feels like a good American, you know, a game on the road and conference play. I think some of the things we were looking for that we just hadn't had a chance to see yet, when you go on the road and you don't knock down 16 of 32 threes, what does that look like? Well, it looked like they grinded it out, made that game, you know, ugly is the wrong word, but you know what the style of game we're talking about there, they out-rebounded them and they gave themselves a chance. I think no moral victories, but that's something that translates when they start playing conference games on the road. If they play that way defensively and they rebound on the road like that, they're going to be in this situation with shots at the end of games to win games, I think, quite a bit in the American.
Yeah, I think so. And if you look at Boise State sitting at a top 50 program, that would be at the top of the American right now. So you got Memphis sitting at 76, South Florida at 77. You know, that's one of the better games on our schedule. Obviously, we cannot look past Milwaukee. Great club, as I mentioned. You've also got one next Wednesday against number 24 in the country, St. Mary's. So we get another opportunity. It's a really great opponent there, but a lot of work to do on Saturday against Milwaukee. So to your point, I definitely think that's a, you know, that's a top two team in the American, and it's a really good test for us. You know, you hate to take the loss, but I think we can take advantage of the lessons that are learned in a game like that, and I think they'll pay dividends for us in league play, particularly on the road.
Yeah, it's obviously a loss last night hurts, but just overall speaking of what we've seen this season, you know, I feel like that we've seen things that we've been impressed with. It seems like Coach Mills has seen things that he's been impressed with, and the thing that I keep telling people is that it's not the stats aren't comparable to a win over Loyola Chicago. You compare the stats to what we've seen in years past whenever you want to see the improvement, and I feel like we've seen the improvement through these first four games, and I imagine that you would echo that sentiment.
I would, and we've talked about it before, guys. You know, you get these guys on campus June 1, and you've got them here for 5 months, and you're trying to pick up any data point that you can that tells you what you got. And at the end of the day, I think it takes 6, 8, 10 games to really, truly understand what you have from a competitive standpoint with all the rotations and those sort of things. But it is certainly better. And when I'm asked in the community, how's our men's basketball team going to be here? That's my response is we're better. We are certainly better than we've been the last 2 years. We're 3-1 to start the season. We can hit shots from the outside. We have the ability to score in versatile ways in the block. We'll still put pressure on the paint and pressure on the rim and try and work downhill. I think those pieces are good. Defensively, we'll be better as well. And so I think it's tough to argue at this point that this team is not better. It certainly is. But, guys, we got, you know, we're 4 games into a 31-game schedule. So we got a long ways to go. We got to stay healthy. We got to keep getting better. And I think we'll be right there at the end of the deal.
You can, Kevin, find me with about 10 fifth grade girls going crazy and screaming Saturday out there in the stadium. How is attendance and how are crowds looking for you guys moving forward? Is there momentum building for what the team's been able to do? And are you seeing that translate as we get into more of the sweeter spot of the schedule?
Yeah, it's certainly been better, guys. You know, we've talked about the season ticket numbers. I think we're going to land somewhere around 550 new season tickets sold. We're going to land somewhere around the 89-90% renewal rate. Believe it or not, we're still selling season tickets. And so people are excited about that. I think you see the attendance. We've got a great schedule. We got 9 games on the weekend, 7 of those on Saturdays. So it's a really accessible schedule. So to your point, Jacob, we have seen some improvements in the attendance, but obviously the product on the floor and everybody wants to be a part of a winning product. So we got to continue to get better and keep winning basketball games, and that piece will take care of itself for sure.
Now up next, before we talk to you next, after Milwaukee, of course, whenever we talk to you next, I believe it'll be after the Thanksgiving tournament, going to the Battle for Atlantis. St. Mary's in there. You know, Vanderbilt's a team in there. How big of a midseason tournament will that be?
You know, it's a really strong field, guys. Really impressed with the field that's been collected there. We'll leave next Monday. Tuesday's a practice day. We place St. Mary's the last game in the evening on Wednesday. And then depending on how that game goes, we'll get either the winner or the loser of Colorado State and Virginia Tech, which, guys, those two teams, Colorado State and Virginia Tech, were within 5 KenPom rankings of Boise State last night. So either one of those opponents will be a very strong opponent as well. So next week is a great opportunity for our guys to enjoy a really cool destination, but also get better amongst some really great competition. So we're looking forward to that next week as well. But obviously we've got a really good Milwaukee team. These guys have played really well. They've had a week to prepare for us. And so expect a good fight on Saturday night, and our guys will be ready.
Before that, and before we let you go, real quick, mention of Shocker Volleyball, a chance here as they open up the conference tournament on Friday for revenge against a team I know is a heartbreaker at Coke Arena. The lone, I believe, meeting between those two teams this year, but a chance for revenge. And how are the Shockers looking as the postseason begins at volleyball?
Yeah, so they're great. I think you've got enough student athletes from last year's team that there's some confidence going into the conference tournament that, you know, if you're within the top five seeds, you certainly have a chance. So we match up against North Texas on Friday at 12:30 p.m. and the winner of that game likely gets Rice again. So definitely a very firm Rice team. You guys saw those last Friday. Those guys came into Coke Arena. It's a really quality volleyball team. So I think we've got some good confidence. That tournament's down in Tampa, Florida. So if we can get this first win against North Texas, anything can happen. And I think they've got confidence to do a nice job there this weekend.
GoShockers.com for your tickets for the basketball game against Milwaukee. It'll be the best time slot so far this year for a game, Saturday evening game. Kevin, we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting the Shockers back on the court after that first tough loss and see how they bounce back.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having us on the show, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State's athletic director, joining us here. Good timing as we are all sort of taking it in and reacting a little bit to that first loss of the season. TJ, I thought the Kevin's point on Will Berg was good. Getting early foul trouble there was hard on them. I do think Okorafor was also good in the game, but they're going to need Berg to, you know, to not do that, because he has looked, I think, better than anybody outside the program expected, and they need him on the floor, especially when they play a team like Boise who has all that size. That was a tough thing for them to overcome last night.
That was your first real test of another 7-footer. And I don't know what the American has in terms of 7-footers, right, but now, you know, to stick him in there, and he played well. He just, you know, was limited on the time that he could be out there. So, like I said, I think that this loss is like, obviously, I feel like I'm speaking like in obvious terms here. So much better than, you know, the Kansas City loss last year. Like, that was the first adversity that we saw a year ago. Yeah. Whenever they lost to UMKC. Like, this is a loss, as we keep saying, no moral victories, but like, this is a loss that you could see in February and be like, well, you know, that's a good
team. Yeah, and I don't want to underreact to the loss too. They shot 4-15 from three, so they follow the best 3-point shooting, you know, performance perhaps in team history with a 4-for-15. And that's what, you know, without that, they go from 100 points to 60. Yeah. So,
I mean, that's what 3-point shooting teams do. I mean, sometimes you live and die by it. Sometimes you're not going to make them.
And I don't know that. And when we've talked about this a lot, and look, we'll see over time. I don't know if being a quote unquote 3-point shooting team is the recipe. And that's what, and you know, we were having fun with that because given a hard tight follow-up, I don't know how good they'll be with the best, you know, 3-point shooting contest in school history, but I would rather see them generate offense in a lot of ways than be a quote unquote 3-point shooting team, because this is what happens when you take that on the road. This happens all the time. This is what happens when you play a really good defensive team that can make that difficult on you. So one of the big questions I have still about this team now, four games in, is where does that offense come from, right, when they're not knocking down threes? It didn't come last night. They only scored 60 points. They scored 59 points. So where, okay, the threes aren't falling. Where do you generate that offense? They shot their free throws okay. That's a good sign, I think. But they're going to have to be able to score without shooting threes. We know that. Like, the teams that can do that are rare. You know, when you think of BYU teams that chuck it 35 times a game, like, that takes us, that's a different animal. I don't think that's where the Shockers want to live, taking 32 threes a game like they did when they hit 16 of them.
No.
I think what we saw last night, and we've seen this a couple times, under 20 is probably where they're going to want to live, but that means they have to generate offense in other ways.
I think it'll be right around that 20 mark is where they'd want to live. And last night, it's the same thing that we saw in the opener against Asheville. If they're, you know, if they're not shooting gangbusters, they'll stop shooting.
They'll
them.
Off,
they've
right.
proven that. And so I think that they do. I think that Will Berg is a big part of the non-3-point shooting offense, because I mean, last night, if you watched it, you could kind of see some Paul Mills vision going into what they did in the half court. And it was like, they'd run an off-ball screen. You'd see Giles or Gray coming off. It's like, that's your first look. And then you'd usually get a hedge and a switch, and you'd get Will Berg down low. And about every single time, it was either going to Giles or Will Berg, and you build off of that. And so I think that they do a lot of that stuff. I think that the foul trouble hurt them last night. There was a lot of fouls in this game. They got 21 fouls on the team. But I think the biggest thing, non-3-point shooting, I think that, like you said, that's something that's going to happen on the road. You have to find ways to win around that. You turn the ball over 11 times. You know, that's probably the thing that Coach Mills would point to the first thing, if I had to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, 11's not awful, but it's not where you want to be. They forced 10. Their assist to turnover was not good. 9 assists to 11 turnovers. Yeah, that's
where it was a lot of unforced turnovers, it felt like, too. There's a lot of, you know,
and it was. I totally agree with you. Like, it was there was a time there, and a lot of it was in the second half, yeah, when that you feel like they're starting to, you know, they're starting to come back, and then they dribble it off their foot, and you're like, what? Where does that come from? But they got to pass the ball better. I'll bet you right now, if we asked him what he was most disappointed in, he would say 9 assists.
100%.
Like, they have to pass the ball better than that if they're going to be an offense that scores without shooting threes. And it's okay. And here's where you go the glass half full, and I think we both feel this way. All of that being said, they had a chance to tie the game on the last shot. They didn't play well at all offensively, like in any capacity, any facet, other than they got to the free throw line, I suppose. Like, they didn't do anything particularly well offensively, and they had a top 50-ish team on the ropes in this. Yep. That kind of stuff translates. Like, that's the kind of thing that good teams that are capable of winning road games in tough environments do. They get it ugly, and then at the end of the day, they've got a chance at the end of the game. And to see them do it, you'd love a win. A win would be better. They didn't get the win, but at least they played the way where you can envision wins in that kind of environment down the road.
Yeah, treading lightly on this, but I think that, like, the unforced turnover part, like I said, three-pointers, you're going to miss them on the road. And that's just, you know, historically speaking, stats-wise, you will shoot it worse in road arenas than you will in your home arena. The unforced turnover thing is something that, you know, you hate, but you kind of feel positive about if you are going glass half full, because that's something that it's not like we are turnover prone. Like, it was something that was like, what the hell was that? Like, we can fix that. That's an us thing. Like, that's not something that they did to enforce that onto us.
All right. Quick sidebar, TJ. I didn't call you on this right away, and I should have. Did you say you had to go not in real time to catch the Shocker game there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to – is that because you needed to watch Dancing with the Stars in real time?
It was the semifinal, Jacob.
Is, but that's, I just want to be clear that
make your own conclusions.
I just want the record to state that when given the choice of basketball and Dancing with the Stars, we chose first Dancing with the Stars and then took the pivot to
listen, it's possible in theory. It should have been possible where I could have seen every game without spoiling a second until the Mountain West Network screwed me over. And that was the plan. I was going to watch that, then at 9 o'clock, start the Shockers game, finish that at like 11, and then probably go right into at least the second half of the KU game and have it recorded as well. And the plans got foiled.
But
I had a strict schedule.
You could have also just not watched Dancing with the Stars right at that moment.
Well, then that gets spoiled more than anything, Jacob. Wait. That's impossible to miss the spoilers of that.
It is, I suppose. Here's the reality for you, though. I have no idea what happened on Dancing with the Stars last night. So it's not impossible. Like, I have no clue. I needed to clear that up here, publicly and for the record to show. All right, let's talk KU and Duke. Duke is good. They're good. Talented. They're good. I don't walk away from that game with any more or less concern for KU than I did walking into it. 12-point loss, It was pretty tight most of the second half until the very end. There should be no like you walk away typically in a season when it's Kansas. There's nothing to pull good from a 12-point loss to Duke. And I agree with that. But the reality of the roster isn't normal Kansas this year. They have, by all accounts, the next great star basketball player who hasn't been able to play. And then they've got a roster we quite frankly don't know a lot about that's very non-traditional for KU. It's basically an entire new team. I've been following this team very closely for the last, I don't know, how long have I been here? 12 years. I don't remember a team ever walking through the door that we knew less about than this year's Kansas team. And that's with Darren Peterson, right? You can't spend 3 years with basically returning everybody and then reset that all at once and have it be normal. Normally, for Kansas, we would see, right, two or three returners that have been 3 or 4 year players in the program that are doing all these things. And you watch this Kansas team play, and we don't know much about any of them. Flory Badunga, we know the most about, and he was a freshman last year that didn't play very much. So it's hard because it's just not what we're used to doing with Kansas to look at it and say, okay, what do we take away from that? They got beat by Duke by 12. Who cares, right? What do we take away from it? That's not a normal thing to do with Kansas. With Kansas, it's normally, are you kidding me? They lost by 12 to Duke. That's unacceptable.
I haven't looked and seen if anybody wants to fire Bill Self yet. I said that they were going to, but I don't know. I've seen kind of positive reviews on the social media machines. So I think the one big thing that I take away from this, I'll ask this first. With Darren Peterson, like we've talked a lot about what the roster is, and it's been amplified without Darren Peterson out there, is with Darren Peterson on the court, like, do you feel better about this team than you did the Grady Dick team?
Not yet.
But you think you could? Like,
I could. Yeah, absolutely we could. We could feel better about the real comparison that we need to make is, with Darren Peterson on the floor last night, is there a world where you feel better than you have the last couple of years?
Well, the last 2 years I feel like aren't a good example because ends.
They started the year as preseason number one, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they did. They obviously didn't live up to those expectations, and it didn't work. That combination of players didn't work. But I think right now the benchmark is to be better than those teams. Can you see, and I get your comparison because Grady Dick was the National Gatorade Player of the Year, but Grady Dick was inserted into a team we knew far more about than the team right now that we're watching, in which we have five starters out there, six players, okay? And the only thing we know about any of them is Flory Badunga. That's it. Of the six guys who played meaningful minutes last night, that's it.
Yep.
So, What are you looking at with that? I mean, that is an entirely new team. So how do we even set an expectation for that? And I think that's where, and you probably are seeing some of this from KU fans. It's like, man, Trey White, he could play. Melvin Council offensively was a bigger factor than I thought he could be against a team like Duke based on what we had seen so far. I continue to be impressed by Flory Badunga. I don't know about the rest of the world. Cole Rosario, who we thought was going to be the number two, was a total non-factor last night. Yeah. So you take Peterson out, you take Rosario out, and they were able to keep it within, again, four, five, six points.
My thing about this roster, sticking to this point, is that I really think that, like, in the Big 12, because they play in the Big 12 and they're going to go through the gauntlet, and it, you know, at times it might look good, at times it might look ugly, because that's just what it's going to be. I think that, like, if this roster, this is what I keep going back to in my head. If this roster, top to bottom, with Darren Peterson, played at West Virginia, like, I don't know how many games, like, they would be favored in the Big 12. Like, half, maybe?
Yeah,
KU will be favored because they have Bill Self and they've got the brand tilt a little bit as well, I think. But, like, I don't know if this is a top end Big 12 roster, and I might be wrong about that, but like, I don't think that like they've like, if they finish top three, I think that there will be a lot of upsets along the way.
I get what you're saying. This is not a team to me that looks like it's like going to be close to winning the Big 12.
No.
And, but again, that's that you got to be okay with that. Like, but this is a chip Kansas. In a chair. I understand. But if you were tired of what you saw the last 2 years, this year was inevitable. There's no avoiding this year. Like, you can't replace everybody and expect that team to walk in the door and win the Big 12. The team that you can expect to win the Big 12, that of course did not win the Big 12, is the team that returns two All-Americans, 80% of the starting lineup, should be one of the defensive juggernauts in college. All the things that the last 2 years were, walking through the door in October, that's what you would say, okay, that team can win the Big 12. The best version of this team isn't going to be good enough yet to win the Big 12 this year. But they might be good enough to be real damn good in March and have a chance to beat anybody in the college basketball, in the big tournament. That's what you hope for. And that's why there is absolutely, to me, no urgency, nor should there be, to get Peterson on the floor before his hamstring is 100%.
I agree. November basketball doesn't matter, and people know that. Like,
not for Kansas.
Especially not for
Kansas,
KU.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It does for Wichita State.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, like, I don't know. Like, I get your point, but, like, it's 2025, and, like, the rebuild year isn't a thing anymore. And I think the fact that, like, if this team doesn't, you know, if, I don't know what the expectation is. I think if this team doesn't at least get this second weekend is what everybody keeps saying. But, like, if that doesn't happen, if they don't make the Sweet 16 for four straight years, like, there'll be people pissed about that. Like, that's, and it's not something where it's just like, well, it was this roster, you know. It's like, yeah, you knew you had the number one player in the country coming in. Like, how come there wasn't more invested to build around them? And the roster, like, last night, I'm not talking about last night. Last night they played well. And if they play like that, I think that they will beat some good teams, especially if Cole Rosario gets going as well. But I think my main thing that I take away from last night, and it was to Rick's point, I'll pull up here, is that, like, what's going on with the bench? Like, El Marco Jackson played 6 minutes and took one shot last night. Like, Jamari McDowell played for a minute. Like, the only person that played any minutes at all was Jaden Dawson from Loyola, who was like the first guy they got. And I think that he kind of fell from grace and became a bench player. And so I don't know if the team is going to have enough pieces, because the only person that's not out there is Darren Peterson, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I believe that's correct.
So, like, where are, is a seven man rotation going to be enough?
Yeah, it is. I mean, usually Bill Self gets it down to eight or seven by the end of the year anyway. So that's not particularly different than what we've seen, right? Like, that's pretty normal. I'm looking at Duke, for instance, and just in their starting five, I believe, obviously they have, you know, the Boozers who are new to the program. But they've got players that are coming back, right? They're in the second year with the program, in some cases, the third year with the program. Now they're stepping into bigger roles, but you're looking at the top team in the country, and I believe everybody but the Boozers of the guys that play significant minutes, I think those are not, I don't think any of those players are new. And you go up and down Houston. They're great because they return a bunch of players. It's going to be the case for most of these teams at the top, and usually it is for Kansas as well. So, yeah, look, the rebuild part of it is certainly not an excuse, but the reality is they're rebuilding at a level we're just not accustomed to seeing. And here's the part that maybe makes you a little bit uneasy. Okay, well, what does next year look like? Like, at what point do you have a bunch of players coming back that can help you? Like, is Cole Rosario going to be a second-year player? Badunga, be awesome if he came back as a junior, but he's really talented, and the NBA probably will like him a lot. You know, there's I don't know how much. It's going to take a little bit of time. Like, these are all the repercussions of the way that they built their roster the last 2 years before this year. These are the repercussions of what happens when you just don't have minutes for anybody else, right? Like those teams brought in, they would bring in, like, the goal is to get two guys to come in and just fill out the like, there just weren't a lot of minutes for guys to get experience in the, and that's going to take a little bit of time to, like, to get clear of that. You hope that with a freshman like Darren Peterson, you don't have to worry about it as much, but unfortunately for them, he's just not playing right now.
I don't know what he's going to be. I hope they finish top half. Like,
he's going to be a star.
If they finish top five, he will be incredible.
A top five in the Big 12?
Yes.
We can talk about that. What should an expectation be when we return? Sports Daily, Tom Brockton, Cleland on a Wednesday. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.